então. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Gopi Janabhalabha Giribhara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Janabhalabha Giribhara Dhari. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vana Chari. Jamuna Tira Vana Chari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari.
Jaya Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Gacharya Ashta Tarashata Shishimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Jaya Vishnupad Paramahansa Parivraja Gacharya Ashto Tarasata Shishimad His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki. Garantarashimam Bhagavatam Ki. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to the assembled devotees. O glories to Shishi Guru and Shigauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, entitled The Summum Bonum, Chapter 1, entitled The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, Text Number 14. Suta Uvacha. Evan nisamya brigunandana sadubadam. Vyasakisa bhagavan atta vishnuratam. Pratyarcha Krishna Charitam Kali Kalmasana Ganam. Vyahartum Arabhata Bhagavata Pravana. Actually, better is to chant it in
the Brahma Samhita one. Evanna Samya Bhrigunandana Sadubadam. Vyaisaki sa Bhagavan Atta Vyaisaki sa Bhagavan Atta Vishnuratam. Yeah, thank you. Pratyarcha Krishna Charitam Kali Kalma Sagam Nam Sada Sagam Nam Vyahartun Arvata Bhagavata Pravana Arabhata Bhagavata Sutauvacha Evanna Samya Bhrigunandana Sadubadam Vaijasakhi sa Bhagavan Atha Vishnuratam Pratyarcha Krishna Charitam Kali Kalma Saknam Vyahartun Arabhata Bhagavata Pradhana Please chant.
Thank you.
Sutta Uvacha. Sutta Goswami said, Evam, thus, Naisamya, sorry, Nisamya, hearing, Bhrigunandana, O son of the Bhrigu dynasty, Shaunaka, Sadhu Badam, pious questions, Vyasakihi, Sukadev Goswami, the son of Vyasadev, Saha, he, Bhagavan, the most powerful, Atha, Dos, Vishnuratam, unto Parikshit Maharaj, who was always protected by Vishnu. Pratyarcha, offering him respectful obeisances. Krishna Charitam, topics of Lord Krishna. Kali Kalmasagnam, which diminishes the troubles of this age of Kali. Vyaharatum, to describe. Arabhata, begin. Bhagavata Pradhanaha. Sukadev Goswami, the chief among the pure devotees. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Sutta Goswami said, O son of Bhrigu, after Sukadev Goswami, the most respectable devotee, the son of Vyasadev, heard the pious questions of Maharaj Parikshit. He thanked the king with great respect. Then he began to discourse on topics concerning Krishna, which are the remedy for all sufferings in the age of Kali. Purport. In this verse, the words Krishna Charitam Kali Kalmasaknam indicate that the activities of Lord Krishna are certainly the greatest panacea for all miseries, especially in this age of Kali. It is said that in Kali Yuga people have only short lives and they have no culture of a spiritual consciousness. If anyone is at all interested in a spiritual culture, he is misled by many bogus swamis and yogis who do not refer to Krishna Katha. Therefore, most people are unfortunate and disturbed by many calamities. Srila Vyasadeva prepared Srimad Bhagavatam at the request of Narada Muni in order to give relief to the suffering people of this age. Kali Kalmasaknam. The Krishna Consciousness Movement is seriously engaged in enlightening people through the pleasing topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. All over the world, the message of Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita is being accepted in all spheres of life, especially in advanced educated circles. Srila Sukadev Goswami is described in this verse as Bhagavata Pradhanaha, whereas Maharaj Parikshit is described as Vishnuratam. Both words bear the same meaning, that is, Maharaj Parikshit was a great devotee of Krishna and Sukadev Goswami was also a great saintly person and a great devotee of Krishna. Combined together to present Krishna Katha, they give great relief to the suffering humanity. Anartho pashaman shakshat bhakti yoga adokshaye lokasya janato vidvams chakre satva tasamhitam. Quote, the material miseries of the living entity, which are superfluous to him, can be directly mitigated by the linking process of devotional service. But the mass of people do not know this, and therefore the learned Vyasadev compiled this Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is in relationship to the Supreme Truth. End of quote, Bhagavatam 7.176. People in general are unaware that the message of Srimad Bhagavatam can give all human society relief from the pangs of Kali Yuga. Kali Kalmasak Nam Ganam. Omagyana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Ummilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Utale Srimate Rupa Swami Namine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gaurabani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyabadi Pashityade Shatarine. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyasya Kripa Sindhubhya Eva Cha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. I'm going to also read, last week we missed one verse, and each of these verses are very important to read. So I think we missed verse number 12. So I'm going to read 11, 12, 13, and 14 just in line, and then we'll start the class. Is that all right with you? Hold on. Okay. So, text 11. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has no material body. Yet, this is Maharaj Parikshit speaking. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has no material body. Yet, he appears as a human being. For how many years did he live with the descendants of Vrishni? How many wives did he marry? And for how many years did he live in Dwarka? Text number 12. Read the Sanskrit. Etat anyacha sarvam me, etat anyacha sarvam me, mune Krishna vichastitam, bhaktun arhasi savagya sarvagya, shadadhana naja vistam. Translation, O great sage, who know everything about Krishna, please describe in detail all the activities of which I have inquired, and also those of which I have not, for I have full faith, and I'm very eager to hear them. Text 13, translation. Because of my vow, on the verge of death, I have given up even drinking water. Yet because I am drinking the nectar of the topics about Krishna, which is flowing for the lotus mouth of your lordship, my hunger and thirst, which are extremely difficult to bear, cannot hinder me. And today's verse again, translation. Sutta Goswami said, O son of Bhrigu, after Sukadev Goswami, the most respectable devotee, the son of Vyasadev, heard the pious questions of Maharaj Parikshit, he thanked the king with great respect. Then he began to discourse on the topics concerning Krishna, which are the remedy for all sufferings in this age of Kali. So we're back in this verse to the original scene in the forest of Namisharanya, in which Sutta Goswami is addressing the sages headed by Shanaka Rishi, who comes in the line or is in the dynasty of Bhrigu Muni, great sage Shanaka Rishi. And he is responding to the six questions that the sages put forward. Remember the scene in the beginning of the Bhagavatam of the purpose of the sages to getting together. they were able to understand that the influence of the age of Kali was going to be tremendously difficult and detrimental for the people in general in that age. And they wanted to counteract, somehow or other, to counteract the effects of Kali Yuga, to give something of a relief or a way out to the great difficulties that they foresee for the people in general. Out of compassion, the natural inclination and the natural quality of a saintly person, that they're very much concerned about the welfare of people. So in that way, they decided to perform this sacrifice, this yagya, in the forest of Namisharanya. Namisharanya also was a very special place. We have the opportunity to visit that during last year Yatra with His Holiness Ramapad Swami. And it is explained that this place is the hub of the universe. So it's the very center of the whole universe. And there's a whole story, but you know, how there is a lake that have no end at this very center of this universe. There's a lake. It's basically like the universe is described like a wheel, and then you know, when the center of the wheel, you put the axle, and that's how the whole thing, you know, sort of move and functions, you know, like that. So that center is a no-ending lake or pond. And then the fact is that there has been skeptical scientists that hear this and say, ah, come on, there's an end for everything. So they try, and they found no end. They give up. They were trying, you know, they did the experiment, throwing, you know, something, some sort of a line or something to measure, to come to the end, and they found no. They give up. It's like Lord Brahma's attempt to find, you know, the source of the stem of the lotus in which he was sitting. So they give up. So anyway, the sages gather in this very auspicious place of pilgrimage, very powerful. And that's when they received Suta Goswami, and they presented six questions to Suta Goswami. And the wonderful thing of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that there's basically three principal narrators in the Srimad Bhagavatam: Vyasadev, who is the compiler, who is the one who compiled this whole thing; Srila Suta Goswami, who on the requests and the questions of the sages of Namisharanya, he narrated the Srimad Bhagavatam; and then Sukadev Goswami, who narrated the Srimad Bhagavatam to Maharaj Parikshit in the shores of the Ganges, answering the questions of Maharaj Parikshit. Then Srila Vyasadeva narrates, starts the Bhagavatam with the meeting of Suta Goswami with the sages of Namisharanya. The questions that the sages presented with great enthusiasm, because they understood, they know Suta Goswami at that time was a person who was present during the time in which Sukadev Goswami narrated the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he was a witness of that great event. That great event that also gathered the great saintly persons, not only of this planet, but the whole universe. Every single great sage to be that is known in the universe was present during that conversation or that exchange between Sukadev Goswami and Maharaj Parikshit. Everybody was there. And Suta Goswami was there. So when the sages of Naimisharani understood there is a person who was a direct witness of this great exchange, then they, with great, great enthusiasm, I mean, it was just overflowing from them through Shaunika Rishi. And then they asked these six questions. The six questions are as follows. What is the absolute ultimate good for everyone? What is the essence of all scripture? Why did Lord Krishna appear himself? Please describe the past tense of Lord Krishna. So that's four. Please tell us the purpose of the incarnations, of his different various incarnations. It's five. And six, where has religion taken shelter now that Krishna has left this world? And Srila Suta Goswami is time to answer these questions. And as he answered these questions, he entered, he started to go deeper and deeper and deeper into the theme of the Bhagavatam. Every scripture, according to Srila Jiva Goswami, has a verse that established the purpose of that scripture. It's like the seed verse. And it's a verse that set up the whole thing. It's a verse that explains the essence of the message that is to be given. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami calls that verse the Mahavakya, or the supreme Vakya means a teaching or verse. Srila Jiva Goswami calls it the Paribhasa Sutra, or the emperor of all the verses that are there. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, we know that it's 18,000 verses, right? And many verses are tremendously important. Some of them have been singled out by the acharyas, especially Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Jiva Goswami established that there is one verse that is the emperor. Paribhasa Sutra means the emperor, in his own words, the emperor of all verses. And just like an emperor has rule over many kings, like say Maharaj Yudhisthira or Maharaj Parikshit were the emperor of the whole planet, and then all the kings of the planet pay tribute to this emperor, and this emperor is have no challenge. In general, we hear in the narrations of the Mahabharata and the narrations of the Ramayana that when someone is to be established as the emperor, the Chakravarti, I think that's the term, then they send a horse, a challenge horse. And the kings that receive this horse, they have two choices. Either to accept the king that sends his horse as the emperor and pay tribute, or to challenge that emperor or that other king, that king that is claiming the position. So then he goes into a war like that. So we know from the Ramayana that Krishna's sons, Lord Ramachandra's sons, Kusha and Lav and Kush, they kept the horse and they challenged. So a very beautiful pastime, how Lord Ramachandra met his sons in battle. They were challenging him. They were challenging him because they were questioning, why you abandon Sita? We want to know. So directly from you. So they challenged him. They actually defeated the children. The two sons of Lord Ramachandra defeated all the three brothers of Lord Ram and even Hanuman. They're defeating everybody. Lord Ramachandra had to come himself to actually take care of these two kids, these two little boys, you know. They were so powerful. So there's no challenge for the emperor. So there is no verse in the Bhagavatam that contradicts this Mahavakya verse. So in this Mahavakya verse, the whole theme or the whole thing that Srila Sutta Goswami is to share with the sages of Namisarena, this is what encapsulates the whole thing. And then it's basically from that he spans everything, and everything goes back to that, to that Mahavakya, the emperor. And that verse is canto 1, chapter 3, text number 28. Ete chamsa kalapunsa krishnastu bhagavan swayam indyari vyakulam lokam mridyajanti yuge yuge. That translation. All of the above mentioned incarnations had either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord, but Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on planets wherever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists, the devotees. So this is what Srila Jiva Goswami calls also, this is from the teachings of Srila Jiva Goswami. He established this in one of his sandarbhas, the six sandarbhas, specifically the Krishna sandarbha. And I'm going to read that portion in which, from Srila Jiva Goswami, that explains the significance of this verse. Let's see if I find this, okay. So, from the Krishna Sandarbha, Anucheta 29, part 1. Text 1. In this way, Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, because he is all-pervading. The Purusha incarnation is known as the Paramatma, Super Soul. Text 2. Someone may doubt. He calls the anonymous doubter, right? What is the verse in Sanskrit that he used for the doubter? I can't remember. Anyone remembers? Huh? Say it loud. Someone may doubt. Quote, You have presented a single quote that demonstrates that Krishna is the original source of all incarnations of Godhead. This single quote, however, contradicts many other quotes that describe Krishna as an expansion of the personality of Godhead and not the source of all incarnations. Text 3. To this doubt I reply, let us consider which scriptural verses support the view that Sri Krishna is the original source of all incarnations and which verses present a different opinion. Texts 4 and 5. This third chapter in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam tells the secret of the Lord's birth and give a summary of all the descriptions of the Lord's incarnation. Because it comes at the beginning of the book and because it describes what will follow later on, it is Eti Chamsa Kala Punsa, verse 1:3:28. In the Paribhasa Sutra, the definition of terms or system of abbreviation placed in the beginning of a book, which must be understood in order to properly understand the remainder of the book. For the Srimad Bhagavatam, so that was in brackets. Text 6. Because in the opening statement of a book, the truth, pratigya, the book intends to establish is presented. In these descriptions of the incarnations, one should know that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead and the others are expansions of the Purusha incarnation. Text 7. A Paribhasha Sutra is defined in the following quote. Quote. A Paribhasha Sutra explains the proper method for understanding a book. It gives the key by which one may understand the actual purport of a series of apparently unrelated facts and arguments. End of quote. Text number 8. The Paribhasha Sutra is only stated once in a book and it is not repeated. A single Paribhasha Sutra may govern the contents even of a very large book with millions of statements and arguments. An example of this is the Paribhasha Sutra, quote, Vipratishedhe Pramkaryam, end of quote, which governed the entire text of Panini's Ashtidhyayi. Text 9. Someone may object. Many verses in the text of Srimad Bhagavatam contradict the statement of your so-called Paribhasha Sutra. If this verse contradicts the text of the book it is supposed to explain, then the argument that it is the Paribhasha Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam is certainly a very weak and doubtful argument. Text 10. To this objection I replied, Srimad Bhagavatam described the ultimate phase of the absolute truth and the supreme goal of life. It is not a loose collection of nice stories for casual reading. The weightiness of the subject matter of the Bhagavatam demands that it be prefaced by a Paribhasha Sutra to explain the subject matter to follow. Text 11. The objector continues, in many Vedic literatures, your assertion that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead is emphatically refuted. Text 12. For example, the Chandogya Upanishad explains that the abstract Brahman effulgent is the actual feature of the absolute truth. This is confirmed in the statement akasasya nupati, in brackets, the primeval Brahman effulgent is without an origin in time. The Brihat Aranyaka Upanishad 4-5-6 explain Atmani Vigyate Sarvam Idyavyagyatam Bhavati. When the Supreme Self is understood, then everything becomes known. The Brihat Aranyaka Upanishad 4 says 2-4-5 Idam Sarvam Yat Ayam Atma. Everything that exists is nothing but the Supreme Self. In this way, the most authoritative statements of the Sruti describe the absolute truth as the abstract Brahman, effulgent, and refute your idea that the absolute truth is the personality Krishna. Text 13. The actual Vedic authorities who accept Sridhar Swami as their leader repeatedly refute these arguments. Text 14. Because in the first Tattva Sandarbha, the truth that the opinion of the Srimad Bhagavatam is perfect and the statements of the Srimad Bhagavatam are conclusive and eclipse any scripture that contradicts them, is proven, and because in this book the same truth will again be proven, therefore the wise see that other scriptures all follow Srimad Bhagavatam just as courtiers follow their king's orders. Anyway, you got the idea. It's pretty nectarian. I can continue reading, but you know, we can spend the whole class. So Srila Jiva Goswami clarifies or makes very clear why this verse is king among all verses. And because established very clear, without any, you can go around, that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Swayam Bhagavan Krishna. Swayam means the original personality, the source of all sources, where everything stops. Nothing is greater than Krishna. And it's clearly established by Srila Sutta Goswami that Lord Narayan, although Krishna appears as one of the avatars, the fact is that Krishna is not an avatar of Lord Narayan, but Krishna is the avatar, the source of all, including Narayan himself. It is explained that Lord Narayan then is established as a vilas, or a pastime incarnation of Lord Krishna. And that's established in that verse, especially within the context in which that verse appears. The context of chapter 3 of the first canto is Sutta Goswami explaining all the incarnations, the different incarnations. So he goes through a list of 20 something incarnations of the Lord as the principal ones, the most known. And then he says all of these incarnations and simple eti chamsa kalapunsa, they're part direct expansions or expansion of his expansions, like that of Lord Krishna, who is the origin, the supreme. So the intent of the Bhagavatam is to establish Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead, the source of everything. And that's also when Srila Vyasadev started his narration, that's how he started. He established that fact in the very beginning of the narration. The first verse of the Bhagavatam is, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Jammadyasya Jatam Jammadyasya Itaras, it goes like that. Param Satyam Dimahi. Therefore, I meditate upon him. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Krishna. Jamadhyasa Jatom Vaya Itarasta Chatarsu Abhigyashvaraja. So, Krishna is the source, Jamadhyasi Jatam Vaya. He is the source, the origin of everything. Therefore, I meditate upon him. But then, Srila Vyasadeva, as he starts his narration, he starts with Srila Sutta Goswami's conversation. And through Srila Sutta Goswami, this verse established with no doubt, because someone may say, well, Lord Narayana is the origin of Krishna. So there is something, it's not fully established, but this one fully establishes. And then from this, then we see how we've been prepared to listen to the past sense of Krishna. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada makes this emphasis that we have to study the Srimad Bhagavatam from the very beginning to have it very clear. The sages of Naimisharanya accepted like that, happily, very happily and very eagerly, because there was no doubt. You become ready to listen now to the past sense of Krishna. Why is that? Because the past sense of Krishna are very mysterious and unexpected. You don't expect that of God. You don't expect God of, you know, playing games with his friends. Was just listening to Krishna book narration by Dravida Prabhu. It's very sweet. You ever heard us? Dravida Prabhu narrating the very sweet. Anyway, he's just reading. He's just narrating. He's reading the Krishna book. And so you hear these narrations of Krishna just playing with his friends, ball games, and jumping in the bag of someone, jumping in his bag like that. All these imitating animals running in the forest. Is this God? Very confusing. The fact is that even Lord Brahma got a little confused when he saw the passions of Lord Krishna. So they're so human-like that we may get confused. People that doesn't have the basis of this teachings of the Bhagavatam, the basis of the 10th canto, of all the previous cantos, then they get very confused. So this whole thing of going to the 10th canto directly or jumping, Prabhupada condemned, and Prabhupada and our disciplic succession condemns that. Sapta, how do you say? Bhagavatam Saptaha. Coming to these gatherings of hearing the Bhagavatam in general is just here in the 10th canto. And just giving it to people directly like that, then is very highly not recommended. Because you have to have the basis, you have to understand. And so we see that the sages now, Sutta Goswami is, okay, so now we get into that part. We heard throughout so many stories that support that point, that these are all Krishna manifesting different ways of relating with devotees and performing different pastimes. But these are all, we're going back to the point of, these are all his way of establishing of, Mrida Yanti Yuge Yuge, coming into the world and again establishing principles of allegiance and reciprocating and protecting his devotees. He appears as Lord Narsingadev, he appears, you know, as Lord Vishnu and Kurma and Varaha and Vamana, like that. But these are all simply his lilas of that personality. And Srila Sukadev Goswami is also, he established his intent in his narration to Srila, to Parikshit Maharaj, the refrain that is there, because Srila Sukadev Goswami is answering to the question of Maharaj Parikshit of what is the duty of someone who is about to die. And the refrain message that is there, the purpose message, is just to hear the glories of the past tense of Krishna. To hear about Krishna. This Krishna Charita. Because to hear about Krishna is, it completely relieve one of any type of misery that of existence in this material world. Is the Prabhupada put the panacea. So the refrain is all over the Srimad Bhagavatam about absorbing oneself in listening about the past tense of Lord Krishna. So now, tomorrow, we start to hear Srila Sukadev Goswami starting the narration of the past tense of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan. So, or the appearance of Lord Krishna in this world. That unique event that happens very rarely, only once in a day of Brahma, how it happens, you know, this time. And we're ready, we're prepared. Us devotees, by the grace of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, we've been given the process that was followed by the sages of Naimisharanya, that was followed by Maharaj Parikshit, that was appreciated by all the great personalities of the universe. We're following and we're ready to actually hear about the past tense of Krishna. Not forgetting, having it very clear that He is the source of all source. He is the source of everything. And that all this opulent, awesome pastimes that he did as Lord Narsingadev and Vamanadev, you know, all these amazing feats that he performed are simply his pastimes in this world. So we're ready. Any comments or questions?
Jai Baladev Prabhu.
Jai Hare Krishna Prabhu. I was hoping to gather my thoughts so somebody else could go if they want to. thank you for your class. I have a question. Well, one thing that came to mind when you were mentioning this verse, the Krishna Supagavan Swayam, is that reminded me of a show that came on in the 80s. You probably have heard of it. Tony Danza was starring in it. It's called Who's the Boss?
Who?
Have you heard of it? So anyway, you were describing that verse and Who's the Boss? And one thing that came to mind is what Mahabodhi Prabhu mentioned the other day in his class in Bhagavad. He says, when I was, if I was the boss of a job, you know, I could just tell people what to do. when I was the manager of the temple, you kind of have to like, kind of beg people, you know, please Prabhu, can you do this service and stuff? And that's kind of what came to mind, this material where everyone tries to be the boss, you know, king, queen, all these terms, president, are meant for how can I be the boss? But devotees know that in the end, we have to be conscious of what we say, what we do, because we realize that there's Krishna's two Bhagavan, there's a supreme boss, and he awards us what we say. And we hear that Prabhupada many times said Krishna, he was criticizing the Mayavadis. Sometimes the Mayavadis say I have to meditate to become God. But he's like, Krishna, he was God from the beginning, from when he killed Putana. We never hear Krishna say, oh, I'm sorry, I got fired as the supreme controller. I got hired as, he's always the supreme controller. He doesn't have to watch what he says or does. So my question is related to this point is that in the material world, we always try to connect to some supreme source, somebody who's rich, somebody who's beautiful, somebody who's renounced, etc. And one thing that came to mind is what Keshava Kishore Prabhu told me the other day. He was mentioning that he knew some people, one daughter, her father divorced her mother, and she hated her father for it. And she not only hated her father, she hated her father up to death. She soon after, she hated him so much, she eventually developed cancer. And even during the time of her death, she still wouldn't forgive her father. So that's the tendency in the material world, is that we try to connect, you know, to either people or devotees. But in the end, they're not the supreme boss. Everyone's got their own artist. So what are some steps? Even though we hear that, you know, we're supposed to please the devotees before Krishna, but the reality is that just as Hari Das Thakur couldn't connect to the devotees at the Jagannath Puri temple, the reality is that why are we trying to waste our time trying to connect to every devotee? We love them, appreciate them, respect them. But what are some steps some people could do to realize that actually nobody in this material world is the boss except Krishna? Yogi nam api sarvesham magatin antar atmana shradavam bhajate yo mam same yutatamo mataha. You know, only a machine is attractive. Any TV is attractive to the degree we connect to this power source. So my question is, sometimes it could be like a manipulated thing. Oh, you should please the devotees. But we see in the material world, you can't please every devotee, even if you try to reach out. So why are we wasting so much time trying to connect to every devotee or people? And then we miss the goal of life, which connects into the supreme source, the supreme boss, the supreme beauty. So how does one handle that dilemma with devotees without committing offenses that, okay, you're not the supreme boss. You have your anarchism, even if you want to reach out. So that was kind of a similar question that brought up the other day. So maybe you could expand on it a little bit. So.
Yeah, one thing that I thought is that you can separate the two things. They're not exclusive. Trying to connect to the devotees in a very genuine and substantial way, deep, and connecting with Krishna, it's not, you know, one or the other, or one comes first and the other one comes second. They're inclusive. It's just part of the whole thing. If we have conflicts, means that we're not connecting with Krishna. You know, and actually, you can separate them. You can separate Krishna and his devotees. That's what it immediately comes to my mind. If there is conflict, is that we disconnecting to one or the other. We may be thinking that, okay, why wasting my time with the energy? Let me connect with the energetic. And then automatically, you know, the thing of you water the root, you know, and then everything else gets. So I just go straight to Krishna.
I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Sometimes we could connect to some devotees and not, so not just Krishna. Everyone's had an opportunity, so that wasn't my understanding.
I understood that. I'm saying that we can do either that, connect just with Krishna, and then, okay, but that doesn't work. Then we still find ourselves in conflict, you know, and that's the description of the Kanishta Adhikari is that he only sees Krishna and don't see the devotees, right? We read that in the description of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur of the Kanishta Adhikari. And also in the Bhagavatam, it's described like that, They just don't see the devotees, they just see the deity. So it doesn't work. You know, it creates a lot of, you find yourself in a lot of conflict, neglecting the devotees, offending the devotees, and like that. The other one is that you relate to the devotees and relate to the devotees, but don't pay attention of deepening or understanding their connection with Krishna. So then we relate with the devotees in an external way, meaning that this guy is like me, I like him, or this guy is not like me, I don't like him. You know, we just see the external part. We don't see what unifies us, what is the common ground, that we are all servants of Krishna and appreciate each other like that. So when there is conflict, mean that there is no Krishna consciousness. Really, there's a lack of Krishna consciousness. So in order to have substantial, deep relationship with devotees, and not only with devotees, with the whole creation, we have to develop Krishna consciousness. We have to develop our connection with Krishna. So it's inclusive. We can't separate Krishna and his devotees. It's not an exclusive thing. That's a thought, you know, that he came. But unless someone else have a question, another question, yes. Sarvabhauma Prabhu. That was all right, Jai Jagat Baladev? Yeah, we can talk about. We can talk about after because it's getting a little late. Sarvabhauma Prabhu.
Okay, just, anytime the topic of conflict comes up in terms of, he was saying Mayavadi considerations and conceptions versus, the personal aspect and so on is what you're talking about and what we're trying to understand. One thing that I think is really helpful is the idea of Ajinta Bheda Bheda Tattva,
which means
inconceivably, simultaneously, one and different.
Yes.
And one thing that's really neat about that is it's actually people like Werner Heisenberg and I forget all the different people, the fathers of quantum mechanics and quantum physics, they got their ideas from the Vedas. And the Heisenberg uncertainty principle is exactly the same. It's how they try to understand the condition or how they try to describe an electron versus a proton, neutron, and all those things. Subatomic, things that aren't immediately visible to us, but the ideas that support how that can even exist. And so it's neat that that is already there in the Vedas to help us understand what you're describing, the idea of the relationship between each individual soul and Krishna. It's all one, but we have our amazing, unique, special differences. And so that's what Krishna is all about. It's not, we don't merge in the Mayavadi way. It's unlimitedly remarkable and attractive and full of joy, bliss, and ecstasy.
Correct, so. Yeah. Krishna Archana. Thank you, Prabhu.
You had stated that from Srila Jiva Goswami's teachings, there's the seed mantra that actually is the central point that the entire scripture then is in accord with that that seed mantra or the seed statement. And so you'd read from Srila Jiva Goswami's arguments to explain that it's not that Krishna is coming from Lord Narayan, but rather that from Krishna all the other incarnations is coming in. So you had mentioned the listing in the early part of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I just want to ask a simple question. Is it that 111 verse of Srimad Bhagavatam is that very seed mantra?
Well, you can still find, someone may say, just like the anonymous doubter, may say, well, maybe that's, you know, that was Srila Vyasadev, you know, Ishtadeva, but not necessarily my Ishtadeva. So Srila Vyasadev, you know, is establishing Krishna as his, you know, source and worshipable deity. But it doesn't necessarily clearly defines, you know, well, Narayan is also, Lord Shiva says, you know, that Sankarshan is his Ishtadeva, you know, like that. So, it's not fully established. Also, the intent is there, but this verse is not challenged by in the verse, the Paribhasha Sutra, what Srila Jiva Goswami said, is that finds no challenge. No other verse can challenge, no other quote, no other thing, nothing can challenge this verse. There is no, okay, well, someone's, you know, this verse says blah, blah. There is no verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that contradicts the Ete Cham Sakalapunsa verse. That's what that one is established as the. And Srila Vyasadev, basically, he is presenting that in the Bhagavatam. So, you know, it's brilliant. Okay, I think I'm going to stop here since it's 8:39. Thank you so much. Garantara Shriman Bhagavatam Ki Jai.